give thanks. And we need to do that every day, don't we? Just not at Thanksgiving, but every day, give thanks to the Lord. So this morning, we're going to continue our message concerning giving thanks for God's comfort, something we need to do each day as well. And our scripture is taken from the first letter of, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses, I'll go all the way back to verse 3 and read down through verse 7. To the church of, no, I'm sorry, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything that you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so you are not lacking in gift any, awaiting eagerly the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm in the wrong book. And I just realized that. Sorry about that. I thought, well, that don't sound like my scripture. But that was a good scripture anyway, right? I just turned to 1 Corinthians instead. So now let's read 2 Corinthians beginning with verse 3. It still says blessed, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. That's why we're giving thanksgiving, for God's comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is not for your comfort and salvation, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope, there it is, our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of suffering, so also you will are sharers of our comfort. So, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and looking at what Paul is saying here from last Sunday, being the first part of that, talking about God is the God of all comfort, and this morning we'll be looking at the suffering's intended results, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. But as we look at the scriptures, and as they tell us about God's comfort in every situation, whatever we are confronted with in our life each day, we are to give thanks. Give thanks. James says give thanks, you know, count it a joy, you know, if conflicts or hardships and things come upon you. And Jesus said himself, I count it all joy to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Even though the pain and the suffering that we cannot even comprehend, still Jesus gave thanks to the Heavenly Father for going to the cross and suffering the pain of the sins of the world. So we too are to give. And as I get into this message today, you know, it's God's overflowing of his blessings into our life or pouring in is how we are to be able to experience that comfort. Because we couldn't experience it. We couldn't say joy or I have joy in my life otherwise, because we would know we're in it alone, but we're not, because Christ himself suffered. Even Hebrews chapter 4 says that Christ suffered, yet he was without sin. Yet he comes and provides comfort and provides grace and mercy to us in time of need. And so he was without sin, but yet he still endured and persevered through the sufferings and hardships in his life when he went to the cross. So Paul is pointing this out to us so that, you know, no matter if it's Thanksgiving week or whatever day it is in our life, when we undergo the hardships and the things in our life, we can understand, okay, we can be comforted. Even though it's hard, it's difficult for us to understand this, but the overflowing of God's goodness and blessings and mercies in our life counteracts all of those things, and it helps us to understand it better. So what I'm saying here this morning, God has to work in us before he can work through us. You understand that? You often hear me say, allow God to live his life through you. And as he lives your life through you, then we can better understand that God has to work in us before he can work through us. So he works in our life because the Holy Spirit is already indwelling in our lives. So that should give us comfort there alone, knowing that we have the Spirit of God indwelling in us. And it absorbs all of those things that Paul was talking about, that we can better understand that when we do suffer hardships and circumstances in our life, then Christ comes along and provides that comfort, and he removes that from our mind, the negative part of that, and points us to the good things that he is providing. So, also, when we look at this as well, you know, it's much easier for us to grow in knowledge than to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And do that, you know, each day. So it's easier. And that's why I'm saying it's easier to grow in knowledge. We can get into the Word of God and we can just take it all in. But to grow in that grace and understand that apart from the knowledge is much more difficult for us. But God still extends that grace and mercy in time of need when we need it. So not only does Peter say grow in the knowledge, but grow in that grace, because that's a part of the knowledge of understanding the comfort of God. So as we experience the grace of God in our daily lives, see, what I call it, it's invested into our lives as godly character. So you are carrying the character of God in your life because he dwells in you. So it's like Jesus said, I in you, you in me, and I in the Father, and Father in me. So you see the combination there? You can't have anything any better than that. Because the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is always at work in our lives. And that's when we all still give thanks to the Lord. And if you want to read more about that, turn to Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. And that's what Paul explains about how God has invested through Jesus Christ into our lives so we can better understand through his sufferings. As we go through that, we can still give God thanks just as Jesus did himself. So there's some things I want us to remember from last Sunday and this Sunday. It's kind of what I would call a recap of from last Sunday, verses 3 and 4, and picking up on verse 5 through 7 today. But remember what God is to you. Remember what God is to you. First of all, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, that's what verse 3 told us last week. And, of course, I can go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, 14, talking about that as well. Also, remember what God does for you. Remember what God does for you. He is able to handle your trials and make them work out for your good and His glory. Just like Romans 8:28, God works out the good for every circumstance in our life according to those who love Him. Romans 8:28. Now, so the third and finally, remember what God does through you, okay? And that is, let Him use you to be encouragement to others. And I talked about that last week, how we can encourage others as we are being encouraged as we go through the circumstances, suffering, hardships in our life, whether it's us or someone close to us or someone we know. Still, we can be encouragement to others because they see our faith, and they see their hope is also can be strong as well. So now let's look at verses 5-7, which the sufferings intended are the results here. Now, verse five here, I believe it supplies a reason why suffering equips the Christian to mediate God's comfort. See, we are to mediate it to others. We are to be the in-between person to help others understand as we have gone through ourselves. Now, if I haven't been through things that you have, then I can't completely understand, but the things I've been through myself, we all have been through general things or types of suffering or hardships in our life, but when we have been through those things and we see someone else trying to persevere and go through those, then we can be the mediator. We, like Christ, was a mediator for us between the Father and Him and us, because we sinned and He stepped in, was our advocate, and He was the atonement for our sin. So He's a mediator. We can be a mediator to others who are going through sufferings as well. And that's why the sufferings intended results that we can see are finalized right here in verse 5. So it says, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours. You see that? Let me say that again. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours, and what Paul is saying is into us. He's saying it's in us, okay, His suffering. In abundance, also our comfort is abundant. Now, that abundance means that it's that overflow of God's mercies and grace that gives us comfort in Christ. So, we are, what Paul says, fellow sufferers with Christ. And I can give you ultimate references or scriptures for that. You can go to, in chapter 4, verse 10 talks about that. John chapter 15:20, Romans 8:17, Philippians, Colossians, Matthew, and Peter chapter 4, verse 13, all talks about that we are fellow servants, sufferers in Christ Jesus. Paul was one who suffered for the cause of Christ. Jesus said to Ananias, you take care of Paul because he's going to suffer much for my sake. And Paul was glad to do that because he said, I found content. Now, you're probably thinking, now how in the world could you find content and all through the sufferings and hardships and circumstances in life? Well, it's not fun going through it, but when you realize that God is with you through that, He was with Christ all the way through His sufferings, and then He became victorious over all of that and of the sins of the world. He won the victory. And yes, there are going to be temporary setbacks in our life that we're going to wonder, oh, you know, how am I going to get through this? How will I get through this? Well, give thanks to God that from the very beginning of the foundations of the world, that He had a plan already worked out for you and me. and that is our endurance and perseverance in this life, the ultimate reward is what? Heaven. Heaven. That is it. So, now, what we want to look at now is that in looking at this verse, the result of suffering with Christ is that Christ overflows in comfort to us. Now, that comfort, you know, that should be a word that we understand. You know, when you're in the comforts of your home, or when you're in the comforts of your bed, you get a good night's rest. When you're in the comfort of the fellowship of believers, that gives you comfort. That's you seeing together. It's just like the four Gospels, called Synoptic Gospels, that the Gospels were written by different ones, different disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they wrote it in their own perspective, how God gave them the revelation and right, and they were seeing together. So they were seeing things and telling the story in a different manner, but meaning the same thing. So that's the comfort we ought to experience here. So that's that overflow in comfort to us. So no matter how great the sufferings a Christian is called to endure, okay, no matter how much, you know, we are far more than matched by the comfort which Jesus gives. And Paul talks about that in chapter 4, verse 17. So when we are far more matched by the comfort of Jesus, you know, that's why I say our cup overflows. The reason I say that, when a cup is filled to overflow, whatever spills over the edge is the same of what is being poured in. What's overflowing? You know, it keeps overflowing. That's how God provides the comfort in our life or the things in our life. It keeps pouring into our cup. So whatever spills over is the same of what is still coming in. You see, it never ends. It continues. Just like Psalms chapter 23, where David said, my cup overflows. It never quits overflowing because I know who my shepherd is. I know who sustains me in this life. So that is a nature or natural process that I can understand. But here is a supernatural process beyond my understanding now. So, see, we don't know all things, and that's why Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, you know the knowledge and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what the supernatural thing, my understanding, if suffering is poured into a Christian, the Christian will overflow, okay? What spills over through is different from what is poured in. So suffering goes in, but comfort comes out. So that's comes from the Lord. Now, the law of flow and overflow is going to be expressed right here in verse 5. Let's look at verse 5 now. Verse 5 says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our encouragement also abounds through Christ. Now this word here, the word abound, means to exist in abundance or to exceed a certain measure to remain. That's interesting to me because it's the same word used of the 12 baskets of food where Jesus, you know, fed the 5,000. And it was what? 12 baskets left over? 12 baskets left over. The feeding of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, that's that overflow. another analogy of that too I'm having to think about is, you know, Christ, our minimum, whatever the minimum things or resources we have, you take the five loaves and that two fish, that's the minimum resource that that young man had. Jesus blessed it, and it multiplied. And it multiplied, and that overflowing continued on till all 5,000 and plus was fed, and then they went around and picked up the remains, and there was 12 baskets. That was enough to feed some more. You see? You see what I'm talking about? This overflowing never stops. It keeps pouring in, and what comes out of that is the comfort that we receive. And that's what Paul is talking about right here in this verse, verse 5. So, when trouble flows in, look to God for your overflowing comfort, first to us, and then not only does it stop with us, it flows in to other people. Now, let's look at verse 6 quickly. And this expands and reapplies the lesson from last week in verse 4 concerning the purpose of suffering, okay? But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. You see what Paul is saying? If we are afflicted, it's for our comfort and our salvation. Now you say, now how does that work? Well, it says, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So, here it is. It's easy for a Christian to be happy, isn't it? It is easy for a Christian to be cheerful when everything is going well in your life. But when that turns, you know, it can smooth, you know, quickly change. But it takes great faith to rejoice in the Lord in times of darkness and hardship. See, that's where that faith enters in. See, not only do we have comfort, we have grace, we have mercy, we have faith. And still, that kind of attitude, see, glorifies God. It glorifies. And everything we do in our life, we are to do it to glorify God. Whatever we do in life, we are to do it as we are doing it unto the Lord. So faithful believers, knowing that He is working out His wise, all-wise purpose in our lives, patiently awaiting the Lord's rainbow of blessing that follows the storm. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. There's that freedom. You think about it. And that's what Scripture tells us. And I believe the Scripture, don't you? They comfort us, and they give us instructions. They give us everything we need to know about this life and what to expect and everything that we will experience pertaining to the Lord. So hope for enduring holiness is grounded in the effusion of divine encouragement that sufferings bring in verse 7. So I inserted that word infusion, because I just went through that a few weeks ago, and I thought, how could I really identify this hope for enduring holiness is grounded in the infusion. It's the infusion of the Holy Spirit in our life that removes all of that negativism or the sin or anything in our life. It removes it, just like infusions or antibiotics and things removes infections and stuff in our physical body, But when we have the infusion of the Holy Spirit, it purifies our life and it makes us holy and clean before the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 7 it says, and our hope for the on our behalf, that's what that is, that hope, here is Paul's talking about, you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Now, here, this hope that Paul's talking about, and our hope for you, is what Paul is saying, carries the idea of waiting in expectation, that confidence, and that patience. The waiting, the patience. And sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? The waiting, the patience part of it. But yet, how could he do otherwise since transforming the power of Christ was at work in our lives? And in Paul says in Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ's coming. That's how that works. It continues on. Whatever, however God has started it in your life, since you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you became a Christian, he started a great work in you then, and he will continue that work. You will see that process in your life as you endure, as you patiently strive to be like Christ. He will perfect that until the day of Jesus comes, and then we'll know that finally. Now, just as God comforted Paul, God would also comfort the Corinthian believers as they suffer greatly, being comforted in their salvations as well. So, as we look at the conclusion here, even in the service of Christ, there will be disappointments. And believe me, I know that. And you know that. Even in our service to Christ and our faithfulness, there will be that time of disappointments, but that should not bring despair in our life if we're trusting in the Lord. This epistle is filled with the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. As we gain God's perspective immeasurably through this study of 2 Corinthians. I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. It is filled with the promises of God's comfort no matter what we endure in this life. So when you and I find ourselves discouraged because of difficult circumstances, you think about that now. It is easy to focus on ourselves and our feelings are to be immersed in the problems around us. But the first step that I find, that I see right here, we must take is to look by faith to the Lord and realize that God is with us. And I want to close with this last verse, and it's taken from Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. And that's why I often say, don't go around looking down. Always go around looking up. Look up. And the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from whence shall my help come. And then verse 2. And the psalmist says, well, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, here's a good analogy for you. If he made heaven and earth, as difficult as it would seem to us in our finite minds, no matter what your pains and hardships and circumstances are, he'll also provide that comfort. He will. He made the heavens and the earth. My help comes from the Lord. Remember that. When you get up in the morning, remember, my help comes from the Lord. Winston and I were sharing by my nightstand. I got a little saying there. When I get up every morning, I remember that too. Don't forget to pray today, because Jesus, our God, didn't forget to wake you up this morning. He didn't. He wakes you up in the morning, so don't forget to pray. Don't forget that He is your helper in all circumstances. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for your message. And Lord, this is a good Thanksgiving message for all of us, from Paul's perspective, as he was given that revelation from you to write. They wrote because it was breathed by your voice, by your spirit. And Lord, your word is true. We just need to have a knowledge of it, and by their grace grow in the knowledge and grace of your understanding. And our life, as it revolves around this, we will see that our hope is in you. Our help is in you. You are our salvation. You are our fortress, our stronghold in every situation in this life, no matter how difficult it may seem at the time. Lord, I praise you and I thank you this morning for each one here. And I pray that this message spoke to us, each and every one of us, maybe in a different way, wherever our needs are. And you are ready to meet us unconditionally with your love. Wherever our needs are, whatever they may be, you can help us to see that you bring comfort in every situation. We thank you for this week, again, it being Thanksgiving week. May we always be in the attitude and mode of thanksgiving and prayer in our lives. Lord, during this invitation, Lord, may we respond to it. You give the invitations. This is your invitation to come and to seek you and seek your peace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is God is so good. He is, isn't he? He is so good. Let us stand as we sing.